The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Kill those lights. Anybody want to go on a cruise? All right. Let's get on that battleship. And that's what prayer is all about. It really is about the battle that we're in. And there is a battle to be waged and a war to be won. We've been praying across America. Today I've selected a title. It's How Should You Pray for America? How should you pray for America? I have to confess that today's message is being brought to you by a committee. A committee didn't know they were doing it, but sometimes I get so much good information from people that I just assemble it together and put a sermon together. And I've got to thank Miss Liz for giving me a text for today. She gave it to me Wednesday. She didn't know it, but she did. And for Jim for giving me some of the information through some emails that he sent, and my lovely wife, Pat, who also gave me some things of which she leaked a little bit this morning, but she didn't know that she was going to be doing that. So this passage of Scripture, Haggai, is not one of my favorite books in the Bible. In fact, I forgot it was even in the Bible, but Miss Liz reads the whole Bible more than I do, obviously, and she brought us a passage of Scripture Wednesday night, and I'd like to share part of that with you this morning. Haggai chapter 2, verses 6 through 9. Says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desires of all nations will come. The New American Standard says here, they will come with the wealth of all nations. And I'll talk to you about that in a little bit more. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place, I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. Woo! Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for this word, through the prophets, Lord, that has been preserved through the ages that we might have it this morning. Father, I thank you for stirring Liz's heart Wednesday to bring this to me, Lord, that it might focus on me. It just touched my very spirit. I pray that this morning as we study your word, that it'll resonate within our spirit, that we would hear the things that you would say to us as a body of believers, the church, and that what we hear would change the course of our lives. Father, that we won't be running around on cruise ships, but we'll be glad to sign up for that battleship. We thank you, Father, for these things and what you will do and are doing in our midst today. And we pray it all in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. The time to pray is now. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not next year. But now. And I sincerely believe with all of my heart that if the church in America won't pray now, there may not be an America to pray for later. Now, those are pretty strong words from a one-armed guy in a small church here in Slidell. But I sincerely believe that with all my heart. There is a time for many things, it says in the Scriptures and in Ecclesiastes. But one of the things that we must do now is pray. I am so glad that God put it on my heart to come up with this 30 days of prayer. It has changed my entire focus about where we're going as a people and where I'm going as an individual. It has really changed my entire outlook on things. There is evidence that we need to pray. Unless you are living in a vacuum, you know what I'm about to say. There's an elephant in the room, and that elephant is our economy. I am not an economist, although I've studied economics, and I'm not a banker, though I've studied banking. I don't understand all there is to know about business, but I have a degree in business. So I'm not just a little old neophyte that doesn't have any understanding of it. And I'm telling you, I hadn't seen anything like this in my lifetime. It is a guaranteed mess. The economy's a mess. If the stock market goes any lower, there won't be any stock. The only stock we have that's worth anything is our stock in the kingdom of God. These other things are just not working. Unemployment is rising. People are losing their jobs. You're going to hear more and more about this as the downslide and downturn in the economy takes place. Banks are failing. You know, it's a heck of a thing when you put your money in the bank and it goes down the tubes. They had a little thing on the news the other day I saw where people made a run on a bank and took out $11 billion in deposits. Drove the bank under. We just went right under. People's retirement, people who worked all their life planning on retirement, are wondering if they're going to have anything to retire on. We got that happening right here in our own church. The Schmitz, they have been planning on retiring, and right now they're having to rethink that. I told them, Wednesday, do it anyway. Just jump out there. What the heck? We got a food bank. We'll feed you. Gail's got all. She got the key to the freezer. She knows how to get the food out of that freezer. George, you're not going to starve. George in Haiti called me this week. George is such an inspiration to me. He just inspires me. I'll tell you, the guy is just. And he said, Pastor, he said, this place is so poor. He said, I've never seen anything like this. He said, the difference between what happens in America and what's happening here in Haiti is that, he said, I was talking to my mom and she was saying that she didn't have some things she wanted. He said, Mom, you don't have things, but you will get things. If you live here, you not only don't have things, you've got no hope of getting anything. He said, but they've got something here that I haven't seen in America. He said, these people pray. They know how to pray. These people are praying. He said, there's a house that's right next door to where we're staying. He said, and since we don't have air conditioners running, you know, you don't have all the noise that you normally have from city noise. He said, when I got here, I kept hearing this noise about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I couldn't make out what it was. It was just kind of a loud noise and people talking, and he said, it took me a while to find out what it was. These people living in a place that you and I couldn't imagine living, get up every morning and pray from 3 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock every morning. They are praying on their knees and making so much noise about it that you can hear it next door. Wow! What a difference. You know something I've learned? You know, we don't pray too much in good times. We really don't. But I'll tell you what, let things start turning sour and you'll start praying. Or maybe that's what it takes. You know, I'm that way. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about us. We're all that way. If things keep going the direction they're going in our economy, we'll probably be able to fill up the church. You know, if the church gets full, don't tell anybody, I told you so. You know, don't pick on them when they show up, all right? We want them to come here and be merciful to them. But a lot of folks may show up at church. They hadn't been in church in a long, long time. You know, when you can't do it, when you can't solve your problems, and then when you look to the government and they can't solve your problems, you know, you start running out of options. And people start turning maybe to God and say, well, maybe He can solve my problems. America needs to pray because America is losing its Christian memory. We're forgetting who God is. You know, we're forgetting what He is able to do. A lot of people are forgetting our roots, where we've come from, who we are as a people. You know, I know it's politically incorrect to say this, but I don't care about political correctness, as you know from last week's sermon. But this nation was founded on Christian principles. And we are, by and large, by definition, a Christian nation. Now, not everyone's following the program, but that's who we basically are. You know, one thing nice about leaving home, you know where to go back to. Hallelujah. I don't know what happened, but something, the computer just took off on its own. Glory to God. Maybe that computer needs to get saved. Lay hands on that thing, somebody. Hallelujah. Well, I don't need a computer to preach. I preach without one, believe it or not. Amen. I'm an old timer. I can do it. America is losing its stability and biblical landmarks. We've forgotten that our money says in God we trust. What we've done, we decided to trust in the money instead of the God who gives us the money. And we need to get back to trusting in God and not in our resources. You know how stable your resources are? About as stable as a leaf in the wind. It comes and goes. They used to have an expression, be nice to the people you meet on the way up, because you're going to meet the same people on the way back down. We are facing enormous decisions, and we need to pray about those decisions. We need to pray about who we're going to elect as the next president and vice president of the United States and senators and congressmen in our area and across the nation. We need to be in prayer about that. That's why we started off 30 days of prayer, so we can be in prayer about these things. And we need those big decisions, but we got decisions to pray about as small as, do I buy a new pair of shoes or a new dress? Can I afford it right now? Can I afford some of the luxury items? Heaven forbid, I mean, even Pat and I were having this conversation, but we just threw it out as a bad idea. Should we cut back on the cable TV? We decided we couldn't cut back the basis because we wouldn't have Fox, and Lord knows we couldn't live without O'Reilly. At least it seems that way. We might have to make some decisions about some things and pray about some things. You might have to pray about where your money goes. You might have to start giving money to the church. I told somebody that this week. They were saying they had financial problems. The best way that I know of to get out of financial problems. And y'all know me. You know I never talk about money around here. We don't even pass the basket, so it's not about money. But I'm telling you, if you got financial problems, one of the best ways to get out of financial problems is just to give your way out. Just give unto the Lord. Give not out of disgrudgingly or out of necessity, but give out of a cheerful heart. Say, well, I'm not so sure about that, Pastor. Give it a try. If what you're doing is working, just keep doing it. If it's not working, maybe you need to change it, right? America is the most powerful spiritual force in the world today under the direction and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And if America falls, where's the spiritual force going to be? God can always raise up something else, but I'm telling you, for some reason, He's chosen us. I think because our founding fathers chose Him. And we need to be cognizant and aware of the fact that we are a spiritual force. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have great power to change the way things are done. Take it out, Jim, and shoot it. Burn it. Run over it with a truck. I'm sorry I ever saw that computer. I think it's been a minute since we bought it. Get them all. Man, having a funeral right here in the middle of my sermon for that computer. Let me tell you what, friends, you know this, but I'm going to tell you this anyway. I know I'm preaching to the choir. But America's problems will get solved by a believing Americans who pray. And maybe the fire's not hot enough for us to pray yet, but I'll tell you what. When the flames start licking real close and you start smelling the smoke and the singe of things, maybe then we'll begin to pray. Somebody might say, well, Pastor, I don't know how to pray. And I hate to pick on somebody when they're not here, but it's okay. Lauren, you can tell him I said this because Mark is my great example right now. We didn't teach Mark how to pray yet. He's just doing it on his own. And he's doing such a great job. He doesn't know you're supposed to say Heavenly Father, you know, and all the oratory that we have and all of our things. He doesn't know to say in Jesus' name at the end. He doesn't know any of that. He just knows I'm talking to God. And sometimes when he's praying, I don't know whether he's talking to me or talking to God, but it doesn't matter. You don't need to have any formulas to pray. You just need to be willing to be a prayer. So with that, I want to bring some thoughts to your mind. You might have to look at your bulletins to keep up with me this morning. The first thing I want to bring to your mind about how should we pray in America is we need to pray with confidence in God's plans. We need to pray with confidence in God's plans. Haggai 2:6-7 says this. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations. God is not worried. Everybody say with me, God is not worried. Isn't that good news? He's not worried. You know why? Because He knows what He's doing and He knows the outcome. And He knows that He's shaking things up. Now some of you would say, well, I don't know, Pastor. You know, I know you start saying, maybe God's in this thing with the economy and maybe God's causing these things to happen. Well, maybe He is. And why not? Why not? Maybe we need some shaking. And maybe God is orchestrating this. I kind of have a feeling that He might be. Now, I'm not going to get into a theological debate with you about that, but I just got a feeling, but I know this for sure. He knows what's going on and He knows the results. We cannot trust in the United States government to solve our problems. They can't do it. Anybody here find FEMA solving any of your problems after the flood? Not very many of them. They cause more problems than they've resolved in many cases. I heard our president, God bless his pea picking heart, he got in the rose garden. I felt like singing, I didn't promise you a rose garden when he stood among the roses, you know. And he said, with all the skill and might that he has as a president of the United States, Don't worry, be happy. Now, he didn't say those exact words, but that's what I heard him say. But what he said, we're doing everything we can do. We're pumping billions and hundreds of billions of dollars into the economy, and the Fed's doing these things, and, you know, we're doing these things, and the Congress is doing all these things, and everything's going to be okay. You know what? I didn't believe him. It just didn't resonate. Because they told me if we put $750 billion and approved that, then everything was going to be okay. And the stock market has been in the tank ever since. Those of you who own stock know exactly what I'm talking about. The political candidates love to spin words. And they say all kinds of things with one motivation in mind: to get your vote. Unfortunately, we've learned, especially here in Louisiana, that the politicians say one thing, get elected, do something else, and then we send them to jail. Some of them. And the ones who aren't there need to be there. You know, listen, I don't want you to think I'm anti-American, but I tell you what, I'm getting pretty much bent up with the political system around here. You know, I want some people to not only say something, why don't you do something right for a change. Something honest.
We need a Christian
businessman up there. We need a Christian. I tell you what, I'd take a Christian monk at this time. Anything. You know, just give me somebody who believes in God and trusts in God. God said that He would shake things up. You know why? Because I don't believe things can continue the way that they were going. I think there need to be a change. He said, shake the heavens and the earth. One thing we've discovered is that the things that you trust in can be shaken. They can be gone in a New York instant. People bought houses that they couldn't afford, and now they don't have houses anymore. And they wonder why. You know, well, I'm not going there. I'll say it that for another time. No, I will say it. Now, don't give up. My old pappy. You know, my old pappy only had a fourth grade education. You know why? Because when he was a boy, he had to go work on the farm to feed the family. So he only got the fourth grade. I got a feeling he didn't get much in those 4 years. But my old pappy had something. He had a lot of words of wisdom, he used to tell me. And he used to tell me, Morris, you can't live beyond your means. You can't spend more than you make. You know, and that kind of stuck in my mind. And sometimes we spend more than we have. You want to know why we're still living in a rented building here? Because I'm not ready to put this church into debt for $500 to $1,000 to $1 million to get something and then have to be straddled with the debt. I'd like to believe that one day when we get our own building, we can pay for it.
Amen?
Amen? Where's the money to pay for it? You got it. So you need to pray it in. Some of you need to pray it in.
Do we have a building fund yet?
We have a building fund anybody wants to contribute to. Just give me the money and I'll put it in the building fund. We actually got more money than churches have. Most churches have. But we don't have enough. Right now, of course, the price of everything's coming down. And I told Pat the other day, maybe I should start looking for a building. Find some, you know, she named some big realtor here in town. She said, maybe we should talk to him. I said, no, he's not broken up yet. I'm looking for somebody on the way down who needs to bail out. You know, we'll buy something from them. I love to buy when things are going bad. You know, don't buy when things are going good. God says He'll shake the heavens and the earth. He'll shake the sea and the dry land. I thought about that. I said, that's the haves and the have-nots. Those who have and those who have not. Everybody's getting shaken. Everybody's feeling it. I love to see these guys on TV who have been very successful, and they're talking about, well, yeah, you know, the stock market's really hurting. You can see little beads of perspiration baking out on their head. You know, they're getting hit too. Everybody's getting hit in things that they are right, the way they are right now. He said they would shake all nations. The powerful will fall before God. The powerful will fall before God. It's happened before, and it'll happen again. Our God is in control, not our government, not our armies, and not our wealth. Jesus' disciples got with Him one day. He had made a nice sermon. And they went to Him and they said, Jesus, would You teach us how to pray? And we all know He taught what we call the Lord's Prayer. It's really the disciples' prayer more than anything else. But one of the things that he said, when you pray, pray this way. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, nobody questions God in heaven. Nobody says, that's not a good idea. Or I think we ought to do it different. Everybody says, yes, sir, and that's the way to go. And what we want is God's will to be done here on earth the same way it is in heaven. We need to pray for God's will. Not your will, not my will, but God's will. God's ways and plans are not the same as ours. You know why? We think most of the time very selfishly about what's good for me. You know, what do I need? We very seldom think about other people and what they may need. We're more interested in ourselves. We're very selfish that way. And we need to pray for God's will to be done in all of our lives. One of the things that happens when things start going bad, and we saw this in 9/11, we've seen it other times in our lives. You know what starts to happen? We start to make friends with each other. We start to lock hearts and arms together because we're all going through this the same way. I remember when I got flooded out in Hurricane Betsy. It's way before some of you were even born, okay? It's in the history books. It was down in Chalmette and St. Bernard, the lower Ninth Ward, you know. Well, as I was looking at my dad's house, I was in a school which is across the street from my dad's house, and the water was then up to the eaves of his house. And my dad was, I was with him and my mom, and my dad was a little upset. And between where I lived and where my dad lived was a railroad track, was like a levee. And I told my dad, and there was a bunch of people around, I said, Dad, don't worry. I said, just stay with me and we'll get your house rebuilt. And a lady standing by me who I didn't know, she said, well, where do you live? And I said, I live on the other side of the track. She said, your house is flooded out too, buddy. I thought, oh. I felt very empathetic for my dad at that point. Because not only was his house gone, so was my house. Made a big difference. You know, when you're going down and somebody else is going down, it gives you a common denominator. Something that you can understand. And we're all going through this together. We need to be praying for one another and caring about one another and exhorting God to help us as individuals and also as a group collectively. When one of us is out of work, all of us are out of work. When one of us is sick, we're all sick. When one of us is doing well, we're all doing well. That's the idea of the church. We're gathered together, called out of the world, assembled together as one people. It's not just George's problem. It's my problem too. It's not just my problem. It's your problem too. We go through this thing called life together as a church, assembled together. It says that we are one people. I mentioned this past week in prayer. And I'm always amazed at this one concept of Jesus said, when he said that the world would know that we were his by the way that we loved one another. The way that we loved one another. Jim, don't crank that up, okay? Because I think it'll just be a disturbance. I've just got the attention back, and if we plug that up, everybody's going to be watching that computer come back up. And I don't need it. I can preach without a computer. I'm determined to do it. I'll be writing my notes next week instead of using my computer to print them. I hope not. You haven't seen me write with the left hand. If you did, you'd know why I wouldn't want to write my notes.
We have an overhead projector.
Okay, moving on. Secondly, I want to talk to you about how we should pray for America. We need to pray with confidence in God's promises. Pray with confidence in God's promises. Haggai, verse 7, chapter 2. I will shake all nations, and the desires of all nations will come. And as I told you, New American Standard makes it a little clearer. It says, and they will come with the wealth of all nations. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. the nations will come with their wealth. The nations may fall in economic ruin, but I want you to know the kingdom of God will stand and that the children of God will triumph over all evil. We are the children of God. We will triumph. We belong to God. We are not of the world. We are in the world, and we have resources and abilities that exceed the world's resources and abilities. And God has made some promises to us that He will take care of us, that He will watch over us, that He will bring the things that He said to pass. The kingdom of God cannot be shaken. Come on now. The kingdom of God cannot be shaken. Can I get an amen?
Hallelujah.
You ought to be rejoicing, jumping around over the pews in here. The kingdom of God cannot be shaken. You are a citizen of the kingdom of God. Let me tell you what, America can be shaken. America is shaken at this very moment, but the kingdom of God cannot be shaken. And we have those precious promises. They can't be shaken in times of torment. Pat read that scripture earlier about out of Acts chapter 16. And let me just read this for you a little bit. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. You know, maybe in this shaking that's going on, some of you might get set loose. Some of the things that you've been hanging on to, and maybe you've been hanging on to you, that need to be broken off of you, will give you a chance to get free. I don't know how many of you have said, my life's too busy. Well, maybe if you don't have a job, it won't be too busy. You know, I've got too many things to worry about. Maybe if some of those things disappear, instead of having two cars, you only got one, you got half the worries. Could you actually live with one automobile? Would that be possible? Would it be possible? I spent most of my life with one automobile. And I lived through that. You could actually turn off the air conditioner in your car. And you could live. You could actually turn the thermostat in your house off and still live. It might feel hot as hell, but you won't be there. There are lots of things that we can do without that have possessed us. Instead of us possessing things, things have possessed us. Maybe if some of those chains are broken off of us, we'd have a better life. Maybe if we didn't have so much money, we wouldn't be able to go to the restaurants that are feeding us food that's killing us. Maybe we could have some healthy food for a change. Wouldn't hurt me, a couple of you, to lose a few pounds. I know I'm meddling. It may be the end of tyranny. Listen to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 27-28. The removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Rejoice, beloved, that you will be okay no matter what's going on in your life. Somebody very wise said one time, these things came to pass. They didn't come to stay. And this too shall pass. The kingdom of God, the people of God are more resilient and more powerful because we cannot be shaken, even though God is shaking everything around us. If you want to get depressed before you eat your meal, just turn on the news. That'll depress you. If you want to get in a bad mood before you go to bed, turn on the news before you go to bed. That'll depress you. Pat and I did something this week that we hadn't done in forever and ever. We actually went outside and sat on the patio and talked to each other instead of letting the news people talk to us. It was amazing. And do you know that the world kept spinning? It kept going around without us making it go around? Do you get the point where I'm going here, beloved? You see what I'm saying? Focusing on things that are important. The kingdom of God, the people of God, each other. These are the important things. Now, for those of you, and I may join you in your belief, I'm not sure. Someone said, is this the end time? Well, Luke chapter 21, verse 26 says this. Men will faint from terror, apprehension of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your head, because your redemption draweth nigh. You know what? I don't care if it's the end. It doesn't matter. Because if it is the end, my redemption draws nigh. You can have this place if you want it. You can have my house. You can move it. You can have my car. I won't need it anymore. I don't know if this is the end, beloved. But I'll tell you what. When you look at the scriptures and you look at current events, you got to say, maybe so. Maybe so. Now, for some of you young people say, well, gee, I haven't lived enough life yet. I'd like to stay around here. Believe me, I lived on this place long enough. You aren't going to like it anymore. It doesn't get better for you. It gets worse. When you wake up in the morning and you find out you got places on your body that didn't even exist as far as you knew, because it starts hurting, you say, gee, where did that come from? I didn't know I had a little thing in there that could hurt me in my knee. You're a child of God. Believe me, God's got better places for you than this, that He is busily creating for you even now at this very moment in time. God always keeps His promises. Jim had sent me some scriptures, and one of them, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 9, it says, in the floods of life, but God protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others. Even though the flood came, the righteous were taken care of by God. And you don't need to be unduly worried. God will take care of you. Say, well, what if the whole economy goes down? Don't worry about the whole economy. What about you? Are you okay? Are you drinking and eating and have shelter? Are you in the ark, so to speak? Is God taking care of you? In the judgment of this world, when Sodom and Gomorrah went down, listen to what it says here. If he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of the lawless. We look around. How many times have we said, what is this world coming to? Look at the things that are happening. The things that we see on the news, in the newspaper, the diabolical things that are being done to children and to men and women, and just the lies and the, you know, all the horrible things that are going on. We say, what is this world coming to? Well, it may be coming to a short end. But God rescued Lot out of that because He hated the filthiness of it. And I believe God will rescue us out of it too. That He'll take care of His own. In the very trials of life, the last part of this passage of Scripture says this, the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the righteous, to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment. God knows how to rescue godly men from trials. God knows how to rescue us. He knows how to do it. We don't need to worry. You know, when I was in my boating accident, and I was laying in the bottom of my boat and, you know, looking for help, and when they finally got me to a place, you know, one of the most beautiful sights I ever saw was a big, ugly, orange helicopter. Because I knew that those people knew how to get me out of that place. And I can still see that guy hanging out the sides of that helicopter with those big bug-looking eye goggles that they wear. And they put that old cable down and strapped me in that thing and pulled me up. Boy, and I really felt safe because I knew that it wouldn't be long before I'd get to some medical help because it had been almost 3 hours since I'd had any medical help or any kind of help. Just think of God showing up in a big orange helicopter with bug-eyed glasses who knows how to rescue us out of this place. He knows how to take care of His children. You know, why should I be a Christian? What's the point? Well, I'll tell you one of the points. When the world's going down, God's pulling you up. God takes care of us. That's not to mean we're immune from what's going on, but you watch in the middle of hard times how God will take care of His people. I've seen Him do it before, and I believe that He'll continue to do it again because God keeps His promises and takes care of His people. He always has, and He always will take care of His people. Amen? Third thing I want you to think about is to pray with confidence in God's provisioning. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace. The nations may fall, their finances may disappear, but God stores up the gold and silver of the wicked and gives them to the righteous. I believe that you will prosper in hard times. I want you to pay attention to what I'm about to say. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are faithfully serving Him, and you are faithfully giving, there's that money word again, to the Lord, I believe that God will prosper you. If you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are not faithfully serving Him, and if you are not giving Him, you're in trouble. You're in big, big, horrible trouble. Those who trust in the Lord will see the glory of God in their lives. God owns it all, and we inherit it all. We are the children of God. You know, when my parents died, I was an only child. You could tell that if you know me. I was an only child. I got it all. It was all mine. I didn't have to fight with anybody over the inheritance. And I got to tell you what, for a guy with a fourth grade education whose mother never worked, my dad left me off pretty good. He had more money than I thought he had. If I'd have known he had as much money as he had, I'd have asked him for some of it when he was alive. But I got it all. And nobody contested it. You know why? Because I was His son. And in the kingdom of God, you are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and no one can contest the inheritance that God puts in your hand. God will watch over His people. God's people will be better off after the shaking. We will be. After the smoke clears, if we're still here, and the Lord hadn't taken us out, you watch how much better off you're going to be. You'll be better off spiritually. You'll be better off emotionally. And I believe you'll be better off physically. God will provide for you. And God's glory will be evident to everyone. Have you ever had people ask you the question, how can you go through what you're going through when you're going through hard times? And you tell them it was the Lord. It was the Lord that took care of you. As children of God, we have God's provisioning in the midst of everything. Now, not everything we go through is great joy. I had a good friend of mine who was an elder in a church that I went to, and he got cancer, and they were going to do surgery on him, and I was at the hospital, and I don't like play games with anyone. I like to be straight up about it. And so I asked him, I said, how you feeling, buddy? I mean, you know, how you feel about this? And he said words, and this had been 25 years ago or more, and he said these words. He said, you know what, Morris? He said, I'm not happy about this, but me and God haven't had a falling out about it. I thought, wow. I may not be happy about it, but me and God are not having a falling out about it. And that's the way we need to face what's going on in our world today. I'm not happy about it, but me and God are not having a falling out about it. And I am convinced beyond measure, according to God's Word, the experience that I've had in the years as a Christian, that God's provision is always there, and I always end up better off than I was when I went in the fire. I remember when my business was going down the tank, and we were hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, and I didn't have a way in the world to pay for it. And just when I thought things couldn't get worse, I went into my office on Monday morning and discovered that the bar that was right above my office in downtown New Orleans had a Coke machine, one of these gun things that they use to put Coke in that, had sprung a leak, and it had spread water into my office that was somewhere, depending on where you stood, from 2 to 6 inches deep. All my computers were ruined. All the money, I had thousands and thousands of dollars in brochures. We had a national mail out of stuff, and it was all down. It was all gone. The wallpaper was peeling off the wall. You know, we had a very beautiful, luxurious office in downtown New Orleans. But we were broke and in debt. And I'm going to go to the whole story of what caused that to happen. When we looked at that, I thought, man, when you think things couldn't get worse. Little did I know that God had a plan. And when it was all said and done, we collected enough money off the insurance policy to get ourselves completely out of debt. The insurance company got me out of debt. Amazing. So don't believe the circumstances. Believe in the God of the circumstances. That He will take us out of these things and His glory will be evident. The last thing He says, and in this place, I will grant peace. When you walk out of this building today, I want you to walk out with this. I want you to walk out with peace. I want you to know that God is watching over you. Don't believe what you're hearing on Fox and NBC and CNN and the White House and the feds and the banks and all that stuff. I want you to believe in the Word of God. If you will trust in the Lord your God, you will see the glory of God, and you will have what this world cannot provide, and that's a peace that passes all understanding. Paul said it this way in Philippians. He said, don't worry about anything, but in everything, in economic decline, in sickness, and loss of job, and things not going your way, in everything, let your requests be made known unto God. And He said, do it with thanksgiving. In other words, you're thanking Him by faith in advance for what you're bringing to His throne of grace. And the most glorious thing will happen. It doesn't say that He'll change His circumstances. It doesn't say that everything's going to be hunky-dory. He says this. He said, the peace that passes all understanding will do two things. You want to know what they are? You want to know? He says, it'll keep your heart. Number one. You know, in hard times, men's hearts fail them. That means your innermost being will be at peace. You won't wake up with a tremor that you can't control. Your heart will be at peace. And He says, your mind will be at peace. You know all the worrying you've been doing? Worrying about this, how am I going to do this, how am I going to get through all that? He said that your mind will be at peace. Two things, your heart and your mind will be at peace. Jesus said, I give you peace, not as the world gives peace, not that kind of peace, but the peace that passes all understanding. That's a promise from God. Amen? Let's all stand. You may be here this morning and you may say, Pastor, I've missed a boat. You know, I've been going to church and, you know, I've been trying to do the right things and, you know, but I've never had that kind of peace. I've never had that kind of well-being. Well, I'll tell you what. You will find it by faith. Book of Hebrews says that without God, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And those that come to God must believe that He is. Amen. And that He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Why do you need to diligently search for God? Because you got to get all the cobwebs out of the way and light up the path with the Word of God that you can see things. Those who diligently seek Him. If you want that kind of peace in your life, I want you to pray with me right now. I want to pray. All of us are going to pray out loud together. All right? Just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus lived, that He died, and that He rose from the dead. I believe every word He said. I believe every word that's written in the Bible. And right now, I ask you to let the Word of God overtake me, crush my fears, crush my worries. I believe in You. I trust You to meet my needs according to Your riches and glory. And right now, I promise, Lord, not to worry, not to be upset, and I promise to trust in You today, tomorrow, and all the days of my life. And I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Father, You've heard the confession of our lips this morning. We believe in You. We trust in You. Lord, quell our fears and let Your faith rise up within us. We believe You, Lord, that there's more to do, that You will keep us here to bring light and hope to a world without You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to close with a song, all right? And it's kind of a theme song for time of prayer. I discovered this when I was down in Florida, and I really do like it. Listen to the message of the song. And sing together. Yeah. bless you and watch over you all this day until we see you again. Hallelujah. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord.